All right. Romans 1, last week, just got into the introduction, and in there, it's Paul talking, and he's writing to the church in Rome, which he'd been longing to get to. He says a few times just how he had longed to get there. He's writing to him again. He's been held back from coming to them. And he just made the point, and the main point I try to make out of his introduction was just that extreme clarity that Paul had on his mission. He knew exactly what was happening when he was walking out his call. So he made the point that he was given a specific power and a specific ability, which he called grace and apostleship. But it's the same thing as he's saying, I've been given grace and I've been given calling. And the whole reason that I've been given grace and calling is for the purpose of bringing about faith from you guys. It's not for any other side reason. The main reason you guys have grace and call and mission is to bring out faith from someone else. That's what Paul's saying. And then he goes on he continues that trail, and he says, the main reason that I want to bring faith out of you guys is because the name of the Lord is at stake. He says that. He says it's because the glory of the name of Jesus is at stake. And so you can... So he makes this point that one thing leads to another, that grace and calling leads to bringing out faith from people, and bringing out faith from people leads to glorifying the name of Jesus. And I would say, too, that I'd like you guys to challenge me on this, but I'm looking and digging and thinking how Paul's saying these things, and I really, really think that nothing in our life seems to glorify his name more and win this battle for the glory of his name than faith. Okay? It's faith seems, there's a lot of things, worship, and but all these things originate from faith, and it seems like just this simple faith seems to glorify his name more than anything. I said last week too, just summarizing again, that even the most laid back, anything goes. People, I'm pretty laid back. That's my tendency. But even the most laid back from among us should, if nothing else, get stirred up with passion when the name of Jesus is used wrongly. Okay, that should be our foundation, because Paul's leading everything to this whole point of everything is to glorify the name of Jesus. And if the name of Jesus isn't being used accurately, if it isn't looked at accurately, if it isn't worshipped accurately, that should stir up passion in every single one of us. And if it doesn't, we need to be majorly praying about that. We should care more about the name of Jesus than anything, okay? And so that's our starting point in his introduction, just this goal to get to the glorifying of his name. And it's, the thing is, Paul's saying all this about himself, but it's the same for every one of you guys. This is how you need to look at yourself, okay? Even the most unqualified, worst of the worst sinners in this room, need to look at themselves. By grace, God's given you an ability. You have a God-given, okay? Not something that you earned or worked your way up to. You have a God-given ability, supernatural ability. It's not in your own strength, that allows you to just simply get around each other, okay? Just being with each other. And somehow, I can't explain how it works every time, but just you walking in this grace that God's given you allows you to pull faith out of someone else, okay? Me and Becky can go hang out and know almost nothing about each other, not necessarily be all prayed up and have some direct mission, but just us walking in the Spirit, because of the grace of God, get around each other and pull faith out of each other. Don't know how it happens, but that's the point he's making here. And so it happens all the time. Me and Jonathan, at the end of the day, I'll go in his office. We'll sit down and sit in his office, just start chatting. I don't have any mission in mind. I'm not thinking, I got to minister to Jonathan right now. He's probably doing terrible. We just start talking, and faith just gets pulled out of each other. It's called fellowship. And that's exactly what I wanted to make the point about last week, was just this whole deal, the importance of your fellowship, because your fellowship, by the grace of God, will pull faith out of each other, and your faith will glorify God. So that's the beginning of Romans 1. That was the introduction. I want to get to the next section, And I want to skip a few verses, and don't worry, I'll come back to it, but I want you to look at verse 11, and I want to teach you how not to read the Bible. Verse 11 says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." Okay, let's just stop there. Again, this is how not to read the Bible. But Paul, I remember the first couple months after I got saved, I heard someone preach this, and I don't know how common this is, but I was listening to this person preach, and they preached it just from this one verse, nothing around it, and they said, you know, they're trying to make this point that we can impart our spiritual gifts to someone else. So it would be like me saying, I have the gift of prophecy. I can go lay my hands on Sean, and Sean will get the gift of prophecy. And it's just, and I don't know, has anyone ever heard it taught like that before? Anyway, this is just kind of an example of what not to do. But, you know, I heard it several times, and I've had it happen. I've had guys come and lay their hands on me and say, I have so-and-so gift, and, you know, I'm laying my hands on you, I'm going to give it to you, because the Bible says we can impart gifts. It says, if you read Romans 1:12, it says you can impart gifts. I've had a guy blow in my face, and, you know, it was just super awkward, and I'm not saying that's wrong, you know, Spirit-led, that's fine. But it comes and blows on my face, here, receive the Holy Spirit that I have, and you're going to walk in this gift in me because I have it, and I'm blowing it on you. And, you know, we just do weird things sometimes. But their whole point was you can just pull a verse out of nowhere sometimes. And you can try to make it say something that it doesn't. And I just want to show you guys again how easy it would be for me to take, if I just wanted to do a lesson on imparting gifts, I could read to you Romans 1:11 and make it sound like I can actually impart gifts. You can impart gifts to one another. And completely leave out 100 other verses that talk about God giving you a call and a purpose and a destiny before you were even born, and that this being that they are based on the grace of God, and that He distributes His gifts as He wills, and throw out, you know, a million other things the Bible actually says about something. And so it's just kind of dangerous. And I just want to show you the context, okay? If we read this in context, it actually says in the very next verse what he's talking about. Let's read 11 and 12. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." So, he's not saying that the picture isn't that he goes and lays hands on someone, and he gives them all the gifts that Paul has, and that's how you get giftings. That's not he's not trying to set that up at all. You don't get giftings, you know, from laying on of hands. He's saying that I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. The whole point of it's to strengthen you. And let me clarify, what I'm saying is we need to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So what he's saying is exactly what I talked about last week in verse 5. He's repeating verse 5, that's going to be, I've received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name. Paul's saying, I'm longing to come to you, because I'm going to walk in my calling, and when I walk in my calling, what it's going to do is not impart a gift, but it's going to bring out faith from you, and it's actually going to do the same for me. You guys walking in your calling is going to draw faith out of me, and that's why he longs so badly to get to them. He wants to do more than just write a letter of revelation. He wants to get to them and actually bring faith out of them by walking in giftings with each other. He actually longs to have it drawn out of him too. He wants it both ways. He doesn't look at it like he's the guy coming in to just bring something. You know, he wants their giftings to draw faith out of them. It's just this fellowship thing again. I keep coming back to that when I'm studying this lesson out. But it's crazy, I think, how, and really, really true, how faith spreads. You know, if I hear Stephen share a testimony with me about he shared the gospel at work with someone, it's really weird how, you know, next thing I know, it seems like my faith is built from his testimony. Even if he failed, it's like all of a sudden I'm thinking about that, and I have faith to go share the gospel with someone. It actually happened. Sean, I don't know what day you started on. Sean is working for AJ's now, praise the Lord. And I remember the first day, I'm kind of taking Sean around. I don't know what I could possibly teach Sean, but I'm trying to teach him something. And he just starts telling me about his time at the prison. And I'm asking him about it. And he's, the main thing, I don't even know if you notice this, but it's just like story after story. Yeah, I shared the gospel with this guy at the prison. Yeah, I was still thinking about this guy I shared the gospel with. Yeah, I'm sad to leave these guys that I still want to minister to this guy. I still have hope for this guy to get saved. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it's hearing another brother's testimony of what he's doing in his call, of him walking in faith. And sure enough, all of a sudden, the next day at work, my heart is again thinking about my coworkers as a mission. Something I've, you know, completely fell asleep about. Again, I'm already thinking like, man, this guy's not saved at work. This guy's not saved at work. Faith spread. He drew faith out of me, not because he had some mission to. He's just sharing his life and drew faith out of me. And hopefully, you know, that just spreads. That's exactly what happens here. So the conclusion of what Paul, when he says, I want to impart to you some spiritual gift, he's not just saying to just somehow supernaturally pass my gift onto you. He's saying, I want to show my faith that will in turn ignite faith in the rest of them and vice versa. I want my faith to be ignited as well. So, just to stick on this topic just for a little bit longer, some people's argument to me, I've talked to a few people about this, people here, and again, I'm open to being challenged by anyone, but some people really argue this pretty hard, how you can pass your gifts, and so some people's arguments will be like, just simply, Levi, I've seen it. I've seen, you know, people get around other people who are prophetic, and all of a sudden they're prophesying. I've seen, you know, and it's true, I've seen it, you know. I had people get around me that were super prophetic, and all of a sudden I'm prophesying. And just stick with me here. I'm not trying to contradict myself right away. What I'm saying is that we have to look at these giftings that God's given us for his purpose. We have to look at it as something that's given to us by grace. If we don't understand that, then we're going to, for one, use our gifts wrong, okay? It's going to be a focus on ourselves. The whole purpose of gifts is to glorify God. It can't be based, you know, on how well I'm doing, how I earned it, how I went and got it. I've got to understand that it's given to me by the grace of God alone. And secondly, the reason this is important to understand rightly how this works is because nothing, I think there's nothing easier for the devil to tear down than man's works, you know. It's got to be on the foundation of the grace of God. How easy would it be if Sean thought his gifting was given to him because some guy 20 years ago laid hands on him, for the devil to come in and say, look at that guy now, or look at what you did. I gave you that gift, now I'm going to take it away. And they've got to come up with all kinds of, you know, theories. And it's just, it was never settled on the grace of God to start with. It was based on some kind of work or earning, and it's got to be on grace. So here's my take on what really happens, because I'll agree with people who tell me that seems like grace, that giftings are imparted. I'd say, okay, it's not some kind of transferal through your hand to someone else. I would say, actually what happened there is, so I told you that someone prophesied around me, all of a sudden I'm prophesying. What happened is, someone's prophesying, and it's just as simple as this. Their gifting, I heard, didn't get passed on to me. It built faith in me. That was exactly what it was made for. It built faith in me. That's what it did. And that faith, you know, again, it's drawn faith out of me. Faith is rising in my heart. And all of a sudden, you know, what's happening is I'm walking in something that was already given to me. You know, I'm walking in faith. That faith allowed me to walk in the grace that I already had, okay? There wasn't a new grace given. I already had grace. I've already had grace in Christ. It's just that faith was imparted because someone was walking out their gift, and in turn, in that specific circumstance, allows me to prophesy, you know? But the focus is on faith. Do you see the difference? And do you see the importance of the difference? I mean, yeah. But, yeah, exactly. The whole point is that that's faith, you know? Faith is the thing that's increased here, you know? And so, pretty important to catch the difference? You know, I think some people might say, well, it's not not that big a deal. I think it is, because in one circumstance you have, and this happens all the time, you have people flocking to meetings, going to, you know, different countries or different states to get to the right meeting, to get the right anointing, because you think you're going to bring something back. I just heard it again last week. You know, just someone come, I brought this anointing back with me from so-and-so, and I just want to be like, the anointing's in Christ. You know, the anointing is in Christ by grace. You didn't go get it and earn it and bring it back. The anointing was in Christ the whole time. So that would be the wrong view. It would be, you know, that'd be the view that thinks you can just go get every gift if you get around the right people and forgets that it's God who distributes the gift as he wills. The correct view would say, I am nothing. I think that, and really, honestly, nobody else is anything, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, that's biblical. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That's the correct view. I wrote here that God, by his grace, has given me a... Well, yeah, let's just skip that. But pretty much, I love how the best explanation for this is just where it says they glorify God because of me, you know. That's how I look at this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. They glorified God because of me. They didn't glorify, you know, it's all about the glory again. If I go get something from somewhere else, where's the glory going to? I remember hearing the testimony. I was, you know, I have to be careful with this, but I remember someone testifying, and they said they wanted to really put the emphasis on where it came from, and they testified, and they said, so-and-so went to this meeting, and they brought back this anointing with them, and that's why I got healed. I remember they said it exactly, and I just feel such a check in my heart, because I just want, it's the grace of God. You're completely missing the grace of God because you're distracted with a million other things. Got to be focused on the grace of God. Anyway, that's enough about that little thing. That's how not to read the Bible. Read it in context. You guys have heard that a million times. I keep using this word ignite because that's just how I see it. I keep putting ignite and faith together. I didn't plan that. I'm just writing my notes out of what I'm getting out of this chapter, and I keep writing the word ignite. And I think it's just because that's exactly how I see mission to the church, and it's how I see you guys. It's like, you know, if we're going to go build a fire, I don't just throw a piece of wood in there and then throw a match. You know, you got to put all kinds of stuff around it to help get it started. You got your kindling, and you got whatever you start fires with. And that's kind of how I see you guys. The grace of God, you already have all this stuff. You're ready, you know. You already have the wood and the kindling, and you're set up. And it just takes someone walking in the obedience of faith to bring about faith in you. Is like a little spark. You know, faith just sparks, and it's going to spark the grace of God in you. But that's kind of how I looked at it in studying this out. It's just how important it is, fellowship. You know, fellowship is that little spark of faith. You know, getting together, not just, you know, hearing preaching, you know, but getting together, sharing testimony, sharing life, you know, not just having your ministers, you know, but fellowship just sparks something. That's why Paul wrote a couple times how he longed to get to them. Let's go ahead and read the rest of it in context, just so I don't preach against myself here, but 8 through 15 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at least succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish, so I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Okay, so I wrote, he deeply longs to get to them because he knows the potential sparks of faith that occur in fellowship when believers are sharing their faith, giftings, and daily lives in following Christ. And I've noticed in that how Paul, what he gets to is that he expects harvest. Okay, that's kind of like the summary of what he's trying to get to. I want to do this, this, and this. I want to get to you. I want to share faith, but I expect a harvest from among you. And I wonder, just as a challenge, as I wrap this up, I wonder myself and for you, I wonder how much confidence do you have in the grace of God? Just to expect harvest. I know Sam's going to talk again about harvest today. Do you expect harvest because you have confidence in the grace of God in you? You know, this. Do you have faith for a harvest? Do you have faith that you can go get around somebody and somehow that faith will spark another faith and that you're going to have some kind of harvest happen? I want to just try to challenge you guys. Rise how you think about what power is in you, in the grace of God, you know. Make it higher. Don't limit. Don't have some cap on what you think God can do through you. You know, you got to get through that. You got to think of yourself, this week, there can be a harvest because faith sparks, you know, because grace is already given. So challenge yourself. Expect harvest like Paul expected harvest. He can even use the worst of all sinners. And by just a simple walk, you know, just a simple day-to-day walk in following the Lord, it's just endless amounts of things he can do through an obedient, faithful person. You know, any of us. And it's just crazy that what simply what walking what God has given you is going to actually bring faith out of people. Just remind you again that faith is going to, you know, so me getting around Alita is going to bring faith out of her, and that faith that's going to come out of her is going to get passed on to, you know, Katie, because she's going to go share with someone else right after that, and that faith, it's going to strengthen the body. It's going to cause a harvest. The end result of your faith is harvest, and all for the simple glory of the name of Jesus. This is actually what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm not a good preacher or a teacher. I don't ever think I am, and don't need you guys to tell me I am. I just am walking and calling as best as I know, and not so you can learn some more facts. That's not why I'm up here talking. I don't want you to just learn more facts. I'm up here because I believe that by faith, that somewhere in here, this is what I prayed this morning, if you didn't catch it, but somewhere in all this lesson, there's going to be one thing that sticks with one person, and that's going to be enough to spark faith, and that faith is going to cause a harvest this week, you know? You see what I'm saying? I mean, Jordan, if I ask him tomorrow, and this is just how it happens, he's not going to remember 99% of what I said. But he's going to remember one little thing I said. It's going to stick with him this week. And it's going to cause faith to happen in that area. He's going to go share that or act on that or whatever it looks like. But it's going to produce something in him. And there's going to be some kind of small or big harvest this week because of one little word. It's just obedience. And that's all just for the glory of the Lord. So I want to end this. Just with that challenge again. I've probably felt most passionate through this about the challenge to rethink what package of power is in you by the grace of God. Okay, you have all, every person in here has right now the power to strengthen faith. And remember, faith being, in my opinion, the most glorifying thing to God, the thing that wins the battle for the glory of his name is faith. You guys have the power to bring that out of people right now, today, this week. I challenge you again, rethink how you see yourselves in the grace of God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for any limitations or caps or hindrances or however we think about ourselves just to be removed, and that we would again think of ourselves as nothing, but by the grace of God, we are what we are, and by the grace of God, you've given us an ability to increase and strengthen and bring out faith, and faith that glorifies you. So I pray this morning for each one of us to hear one little word of revelation in Christ that will spark faith that will glorify your name. And I pray for each of us, because of faith in you and faith in the power of your word, to expect harvest in our lives this week. In Jesus' name, in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.